بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى تلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس صدق الله العظيم رسالة درو شريف اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد علماء الكرام respected elders and brothers and our mothers and sisters and all who are listening on the audio streaming on the receivers I would like to share tonight the advices that were given by Hazrat Maulana Sajjad Sahab Dama Barakatuhum On Saturday night, after Salatul Maghrib at the Spingo Beach Masjid, some wonderful advices were given, and I would like to share those advices tonight, inshallah. Most probably, most of us were not present for that majlis. Maybe a handful of people could have been present. But nevertheless, Maulana started the majlis with the quotation of this ayat of the Holy Quran, تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in the Holy Quran that we turn the days and the ages and the eras amongst the people that sometimes one nation is superior, some nation is victorious, another nation is defeated. Some nation is right at the top, another nation is right at the bottom. One country is very successful and prosperous, another country is downtrodden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is the nizam and system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ It will never be that condition will remain the same in the world all the time. That nation that is at the top today will forever remain at the top. That country that is the wealthiest will always remain the wealthiest. That will not happen. It's a temporary thing. It's a phase, passing phase. When that phase is over, another phase will come. So, Maulana then mentioned, and he raised a very important question. He said that this question is a question that troubles the minds of most of the people in this day and age. And that question is, how long are we, the Muslim Ummah, going to remain downtrodden? For how long are we going to be the oppressed people? How long are we going to be those who are subordinate and subjugated by the nations of the world? How long is this going to carry on, and why is it happening? What is the reason for this happening? This is the question that plagues the mind of every Muslim, young and old. That if we just apply our mind and think for a while, this question will automatically come up. And everyone is searching restlessly for an answer to this question. That what is the answer? How do we sort of analyze the situation? What is the way forward in the situation? So, Hazrat then replied and he said that one of the reasons why we don't seem to get the answer to this question is because we have not been able to understand one aspect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's operations in this world, and that is known as the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are two manifestations. One is the Qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other is the Sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all what we see happening in the world. Somebody is very wealthy and powerful and strong and mighty. Another person is very weak and poor and poverty stricken and downtrodden. This is the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a community who are living very happily, prosperously. Suddenly, overnight, an earthquake strikes, hurricane comes, some flood comes, and the whole place is just devastated and wiped out. That's the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That every person understands to some extent that this is the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is the other aspect, and that is the sunnat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is called, in another way we can say, the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala operates under the sunnat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not use His qudrat blindly. That will be an allegation against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is like a mindless thing. You just take something and smash it and break it. Just send an earthquake, destroy that nation. Send a hurricane, destroy that country. Send floods, destroy those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not operate in that fashion, that just, you know, what we would say, randomly and impulsively, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unleashes His azab and punishment and destroys people and nations. That would be an allegation against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not used blindly. It operates under the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Mawlana repeatedly mentioned that because the Muslim Ummah today, we have lost sight of this system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reason why we can't unravel the happenings in the world. And further on, at one point in time, Maulana even went on to explain that it is the lack of understanding of the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is causing a lot of frustration in the Muslim community. It's causing a lot of anger. It is causing a lot of despondency. It is causing a lot of reaction, because they have not understood the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are acting impulsively, reactively. And if we have to study some of the phenomenon in our recent times, some uprisings in certain quarters in the Muslim community, Muslim world, where people are becoming frustrated and just taking the law into their hands and just going on killing sprees and murdering people and killing people, venting anger and frustration. But there's no direction, there's no goal, there's no objective, there's no aim. Because they have not understood the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, to understand the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to bring some kind of order in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed His representatives on earth, who are known as the khalifas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed khalifas. These are those people who Allah has appointed to oversee the affairs of the world, to fix the system of the world. If the system of the world is going upside down, going corrupt, then the work of these people is to restore the order, to bring the system back into smooth functioning. So, he mentioned that when the system of the world had gone completely upside down and had reached the worst point as far as oppression and exploitation and evil, shamelessness and immorality was concerned, then to bring the system of the world back to a normal state and a good state, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the last and final Nabi, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His ummah to take over that position of governorship of the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to restore order in this world. So thereafter he mentioned that this ummah, because they were trained by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were following the guidelines of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they had adopted the objective of Nabi akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this ummah became a model ummah. This was a model ummah. And Allah ta'ala granted this ummah the leadership of the world for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, the Muslim ummah ruled over the entire globe. And in that period, mankind and the world made the greatest amount of progress in every aspect. Because it was a model ummah that was ruling over and governing over the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the ummah that spent its resources very wisely and judiciously. Its time was spent correctly. Its wealth was spent correctly. They worked under a mission. There was a goal. There was an objective of life like that of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. This ummah was doing the work of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, so it had the same objectives and goals and purposes as the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Hazrat then made reference to an incident in the history of the Sahaba kiram, the first part of this ummah, in the best part of this ummah. He made reference to the incident of a Sahabi. Had it not been for this incident, he would perhaps not even be known to the people of the world. A Sahabi by the name of Rib'i bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was sent as a diplomat or as a spokesman or a spokesperson or a representative of the Muslim army that was directed towards Persia and under the command and the control of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This army had arrived in Persia, and he went to go and engage the rulers of Persia. They wanted to know, why you people came here? What is your purpose? You are hungry, we'll give you food. You don't have clothes, we'll give you clothes. You need wealth, we'll give you wealth. Why are you wanting to invade our country? They could not understand. Everything was materialistic. Therefore, they looked for material reasons why these people would come to our borders and want to attack us. So they engaged the Sahabi, Rib'i bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They asked him, explain, why have you come here? Hazrat says that then, Allahu Akbar, he was just an ordinary Sahabi. He was not even counted amongst the jurists of the Sahaba or the ulama of the Sahaba. He was an ordinary Sahabi, but subhanallah, what a profound understanding he had of the purpose and objective of this ummah, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what purpose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought this ummah around for. So we find that Rib'i bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes a statement, and he says to those rulers of Persia, inna Allah ta'ala ibta'asana لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَىٰ عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ سَعَتِهَا. Three things he mentioned. In the beginning he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected us. Allah has chosen us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us stand up for a mission and cause. Muhammad mentioned that, look at the understanding of the Sahabi, that he's attributing this directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not say, the leader of our army sent me to come and give a message. He did not say that Amirul Mu'mineen, Umar bin Khattab, has sent me as with this message. He did not even say, our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent me with the message directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us with this message we have been raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have been selected and chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the fulfillment of this great mission. And what was the mission? Allahu Akbar. لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ. We have come here to take out mankind from the slavery, of fellow human beings into the worship and slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana mentioned that Sahaba-i-Kiram had such a profound understanding of the orders of the world, the order of the world at that time. That time the order of the world was one of enslavement, slavery. People, the mighty and powerful would enslave the weak and the downtrodden. They would take them as slaves and they would exploit them to the maximum and they would oppress them and tyrannize them. So it was an order, a world order of absolute slavery, oppression, exploitation, injustice. This was the world order of that time. And the Sahabi goes direct to the point. No beating about the bush. We have come to take mankind out of the slavery of fellow human beings. They won't be enslaved by any human beings anymore. We have come to liberate. We have come as liberators of mankind. We have come as liberators of humanity. We want to liberate humanity from the yoke of fellow human beings, and we want to take them into the slavery and slavehood and the obedience of one Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter he said that وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَىٰ عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. We have come to take them out from the oppression of isms and religions into the justice of Islam. Sahaba-i-Kiram, they had a clear vision and understanding that all the laws of Islam and Sharia are based on justice. This is a law of Allah, the just. Therefore, this is a system of justice, the laws of justice. All the laws of Sharia are based on justice. There is absolutely no vestiges of injustice in the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Sharia. So he said, we have come to take you out from injustice. We have come to take you out from oppression, and we want to bring you into the justice of Islam. We want you to be ruled by the law of Sharia so that you can enjoy justice. And all these injustices that you are suffering now, those injustices will be totally removed. And then the third thing he mentioned after that, the Sahabi, he said, وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ سَعْتِهَا. We have come to take you out from the narrow confines of the life that you are leading into the vast expanses of what is true life. This, what you are experiencing now, this is not life. You are being downtrodden, you are being oppressed, you are suffering, you are miserable. You don't know what is peace of heart and mind. You don't know what is true happiness. You don't know what is peace of heart. You don't know what is tranquility. You don't know what is safety and security. You are living a miserable life and existence. We have come here to take you out from that way of life, and we have come to bring you into a life that is a wonderful existence in this world. Happy life, successful life, peaceful life, enjoyable life. This is what we have come for. So Hazrat mentioned that look at the Sahaba. They knew that mankind had no freedoms, mankind had no rights. The whole issue of human rights and human freedoms. He also mentioned that there was no freedom of expression, no freedom of religion, no freedom of thought. Mankind was completely enslaved in every way. So the Sahaba understood, and they came with a mission to the world, and that was to restore the rights, especially of those who were slaves. They came to restore the rights of the women. They came to restore the rights of the poor. They came to restore the rights of the oppressed. And he says that, subhanallah, they took people out from slavery. He says, you know, Names of great, great ulama in the history of Islam, if one has to track the lineage down of those ulama, majority of them were the offspring of slaves. They were not from the ruling families. They were the offspring of slaves. How could it be that ulama of such high standing came from the family of slaves? It could only happen because of the justice and fairness of Islam. The non-prejudicial nature of Islam, that education is the right of every human being. Everyone has a right to education. No matter who you are, your father could be a laborer, your father could be an ordinary street sweeper, he could be a worker, he could be a farmer. You have equal right of education, like the son of the millionaires and billionaires, like the son of professionals and all kinds of people. You have the equal right to education. This is the philosophy of Islam. So therefore we find that these people seized the opportunity and they said, when Islam has afforded us the opportunity to study like everyone else, why should we not study? And they worked hard, they studied diligently, and they reached such a level, the Ummah acknowledged them as their leaders. The Ummah acknowledges them as the great ulama of the time. There was, in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was this person by the name of Atta bin Abi Rabah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was from a family of a slave. Himself he was, people say that he was not attractive at all as far as his physical features were concerned. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with immense amount of knowledge. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu respected him so much that at Baytullah he had a very high platform built. And Atta bin Abi Rabah was placed on top of that platform, and he was the only person who was given the permission to explain the Masail of Hajj. Any question anyone had with relating to the rules and regulations and the ahkam and the laws of Hajj, Atta bin Abi Rabah was the only person who was given permission to answer those questions. So Hazrat went on to explain that when the Ummah fell from the stage where it was the liberators of mankind, where it worked towards, you know, strive for justice for mankind, and all kinds of sacrifices were made, there was a mission, a goal, an objective, a purpose. When the Ummah lost that and it fell into trivial things, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did He do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suspended this Ummah from its position of leadership over the world. Allah ta'ala suspended this Ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat even used the word, he said Allah ta'ala did not dismiss the Ummah. He used the English word. He said he didn't dismiss the Ummah. He suspended the Ummah. That means it's not a permanent situation that we will always be down. It's a temporary phase. And he says that in this phase, the Muslims are crying and moaning and complaining about the state of affairs. But when they were suspended because they brought this upon themselves, the Ummah has brought this upon themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suspended them. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suspended them, then we cannot have a vacuum in the world. If a person was manager of the company and he got suspended because of some misdeeds or misdoings, right? Not dismissed, he's suspended. So the company just can't carry on functioning without a replacement. It's not going to operate in a vacuum. There has to be a replacement. And who is the replacement? The replacement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will select somebody else, like the company will select someone else to be the manager, until such time that suspension is removed, and then this person will be reappointed. So until that time, there is a temporary phase that somebody will be appointed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed Europe, the people of Europe. And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed the people of Europe, because in all the history of the world, the people of Europe never ruled over any nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives nations a chance, one nation after another nation, Allah ta'ala gives them a chance to rule and to prove themselves whether they are worthy of it or they're not worthy of it. Otherwise, if they were not given a chance, they will say, Allah, we didn't have the chance. We should have tried our hand. Maybe we would have got it right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the chance now. But it will not be forever. There is a time frame with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when people are given a chance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ. Every ummah has got a time frame. It's got a time span. That much of time span it has, that much of lifespan it has, that's all. After that, it cannot carry on. So thereafter, Hazrat mentioned that our becoming angry and frustrated and our restlessness to restore the former glory of the ummah, this is all again because we have not understood the system and the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prove yourself, develop those qualities, build those capacities, develop the abilities within yourself, then the system of Allah and the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will kick in, and it will take over from there, and then whatever is destined for those people, they will achieve. But if we want that position again without the necessary qualities, without the necessary abilities, then we are wanting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must suspend His system and His sunnah. For us, it is not going to be that way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep His sunnah in place. Quranic ayat that comes to mind, وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. The system of Allah will never change. That is the fixed system. That system will operate. Nobody can suspend the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or bypass the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and expect that by bypassing the system of Allah, we will achieve our goals and objectives. It will not happen. If people think that, Hazrat mentioned this also, that if people think that just by political means we will achieve our goal and they strive for that, they will be defeated. They will be vanquished. They will not achieve that goal. The goal and that status is only going to be reached by that system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for this ummah, and that is that these attributes and qualities have to be developed in the ummah. And therefore Hazrat said that in this period of time, that is the interim period, in this what we could call the in-between phase, from the time we were in power till inshallah the time we will come back into power, that interim phase, that in-between phase, this is the time for the ummah to engage in plenty of introspection and to do a lot of what you call soul searching. And it is a time for the ummah to engage in a lot of repentance and istighfar and tawbah and rectification and reformation of its condition. Then inshallah that time will come, that what was the glorious history of the past, that history will then be replayed. But till we have not understood the purpose of life, if we think the purpose of life is to live in palatial homes and drive fancy cars and consume huge quantities of delicacies and delicious foods and to wear exquisite garments and clothing and to enjoy an opulent and luxury lifestyle, if we think that is the objective and purpose of life, we haven't understood. And if we haven't understood the objective, then how are we going to be able to achieve the goal? So Hazrat then mentioned that we must understand what is our relationship with the relationship with the nations of the world. He says that our relationship with the nations of the world is like how the Rasul's relationship was with his Ummah. What is the relationship of the Rasul with the Ummah? The relationship of the Rasul with the Ummah is to be a shepherd over them, to guide them, to steer them, to oversee them, to be compassionate towards them, to be extremely kind towards them, to be caring towards them, to be loving towards them, to be tolerant towards them, to work hard for their progress, to connect them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are some of the things that Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, these were the attributes and qualities which they had to manifest. And they manifested these qualities. They displayed these qualities. So Hazrat says that if we see in the Holy Quran, amazing thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ, the Rasul will be a witness over you. And وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, the same word that Allah used for the Nabi, Allah used for the Ummah. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's vocabulary, especially as far as the Arabic language is concerned, is a vast vocabulary. There are so many ways it could have been said. Different adjectives could have been used. Different synonyms could have been used. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to use the same word. Did not deviate even from the word to show that what was the mission of the Anbiya alayhimus salam is the mission of this Ummah. And when the Ummah will rise up to its mission, and when it will understand what its purpose is in this world, then we will see the glorious days of Islam restored, and that chapters of history for which we are so proud of, and we so desirous for the return of those chapters of history, we shall see those chapters being, you know, once more revived for the Muslim Ummah. But he says that today, unfortunately, our vision is distorted and our understanding is warped. We expect that overnight we will establish the Khilafah. Overnight, things will just happen with the, you know, like we say, with the click of our fingers, things will just happen. It doesn't happen like this. This is not the Sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we have not even been able to establish a Khilafah in our own home, where are we talking about establishing Khilafah over the whole world? How can it be? How can this be realistic? Just think of one incident, this was not mentioned in Hazrat's talk, that one person came to an alim and he was aspiring to become the prime minister or president of one Muslim country. So he came to this great alim and he said, Hazrat, I came to seek your du'as. Make du'a, Allah Ta'ala makes me successful to become the president and prime minister of this particular country. Because if I become successful, inshallah, I will establish the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala across the length and breadth of this land. That is my mission and my goal and my vision. That Buzruk looked down for a while, and then he took a sigh and he said to him, you know, your aspirations and your ambitions are so great to establish the Khilafah and the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over so many millions of square kilometers of this land and this country. Such a noble vision and mission you have. But alas, over 6 foot of this body of yours, you are not able to establish Allah's law. What are you talking about, so many thousands, millions of square kilometers? First establish Allah's order on 6 foot from top to bottom. First establish Allah's law on your 6 foot, Then you talk about establishing Allah's law and order on so many million square kilometers. So this is the reality of the world that we are living in. Hazrat says, until these aspects were not brought into the ummah, then we cannot expect much. We cannot expect things to happen overnight. It's not going to happen like this, that suddenly everything will just, we have this maybe kind of wishful thinking, unrealistic thinking, that we don't have to do nothing. We don't have to sacrifice anything. We don't have to strive. We don't have to work. And automatically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make things happen. Overnight. The whole order of the world will suddenly change. Hazrat said very nicely in a humorous way, he says, our condition is like this, that at Zuhr time, we want to read, we make dua, that oh Allah, by Asr, make sure that certain country of the world is completely destroyed and wiped out from the surface of the earth. And by Maghrib, that other country also must be wiped out and it must be gone. And by Isha time, another country must be wiped out from the surface of the earth. All these so-called superpowers, one by one, they all must be destroyed. And Allah, by Fajr time, we must become the Khalifas of the earth. If we wake up for Fajr. By Padiya Rahmatullah Ali used to say so nicely, that the sun of the world is rising, but the sons of Islam are fast asleep. If the run, that sun is not rising, those suns are not rising, then how can Islam rise? We say Islam must rise, Islam must rise, but the people of Islam are not rising, how is Islam going to rise in the world? So nevertheless, we mentioned that do not just think, have this wishful thinking. This is the question that was posed in the beginning, that why is this happening? How long is it going to carry on for? How is it going to change? It's not going to change by wishful thinking. It's not just going to happen like some kind of a wonderful, you know, wishful dream that we have, and the next thing everything will be like how we want it. For that, you have to make supreme sacrifices, hard work, toil, effort, sweat, tears and blood has to be given in order to achieve that goal and objective. Hazrat says that now the time has come, we need to be doing this kind of introspection about ourselves. After all, why are we such a hated nation in the world? Why do people hate the Muslims? We can dismiss it and brush it off because of propaganda. After all, propaganda also has a certain limited effect. You can't fool all the people all the time. Maybe you can fool some of the people some of the time, or all of the people some of the time, or some of the people all of the time, but you can't be fooling all the people all the time. That doesn't happen. So how come it is that this propaganda is having, it's not only propaganda. The fact of the matter is there is some extent of reality in it. And that is, we have not displayed the true Islamic, Hazrat mentioned these things, the true Islamic akhlaq and mu'amalat. This is where we have been lacking. We may do some acts of ibadah, but when it comes to our akhlaq and mu'amalat, this is where we are lacking very, very much. He gave one incident and he mentioned that once he was by Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali for i'tikaf. And whilst he was there, a group of Sikh men from the Sikh religion, they entered the masjid and they had lots of little bottles in their hands, and they went straight to where Hazrat Shaykh was sitting for i'tikaf, and they greeted Hazrat Shaykh. And they requested that we come with our bottles of water. We want you to make dam in this water and blow in this water. So Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali obliged. He blew in the water. They were very happy. They went out of the masjid. And they went to one what we used to call in the olden days tea room. What they call today, what they would call it today, a corner shop or a coffee shop in this zamana and age. Tea room is called a coffee shop. So they went to the coffee shop and they sat down and they ordered some tea and so on. So Maulana says that my curious, inquisitive nature got the better of me and I couldn't hold myself back. So he says, I went away into that coffee shop and I sat down on a table near them. And when I saw that there was an opportunity, I engaged them. Sardarji, this is what they call Sikhs in India. You people, why you all came here to our Maulana for... What was the reason? What brought you here? He said, no, this is a very big Maulana. Very great Maulana, this is. Every time we came to him when we had a problem, when he gave us this water, our problem got sorted out. People got better and our, you know, ambitions were fulfilled and so on. So Maulana says that now in a roundabout way he started trying to tell them that, okay, how come this Maulana is such a big Maulana? What made him like that? What is the reason for him to be such a great Maulana? You question yourself about that. So they didn't, nobody spoke up, but one elderly man amongst them spoke up and said, come out openly. Are you trying to say indirectly that we must become Muslim? Is that what your aim and purpose is? So Maulana smiled and he said, well, you've read my mind. That is actually what I'm aiming at. I'm saying this in an indirect way, and you've understood my objective, that what is holding you back from becoming Muslim? When you have got so much of confidence in that senior of... He said, no, wait. This is a different thing. This is one man out of millions we have found who is one very good. But, Maulana, I want to tell you that I do transport business across the length and breadth of India. And I interact with all types of people. And amongst the people I interact with are the Muslims. He says that the Muslims have not convinced me at all by their muamalat and their dealings and their akhlaq that they are better than any other nation. They haven't convinced me. So I don't see any compelling reason why I should become a Muslim. Because, unfortunately, the way the things are in the world today is like this, that the nations of the world don't see anything different in us. They say, why must we become a Muslim? You people go to casinos, you people gamble, you people commit all the other vices and sins, you people are into backdoor goods, you people are hijacking trucks and all kinds of things, you are dealing crookedly, you people are the ones who have lavish weddings, you people are the ones who underpay your servants, you people discriminate racially against people. 101 reasons they have got why they don't see a difference between Muslims and them. Where is the example? Where is the akhlaq? Where is the muamalat? Where is that shining difference between a Muslim and others that would have attracted people to Islam, like it happened in the time of Sahaba? Hazrat mentioned in one of his bayans there also that Sahaba ikram were people who gave very less speeches. They didn't give long lectures and bayans, and I'm ending it off now, inshallah. They didn't give big lectures and talks. They simply said, listen, you want to know about Islam? Stay with us for 3-4 days. But today, where can we say with confidence to anyone, you want to learn about Islam, come and stay in my house, stay with me for 3-4 days, you will see Islam alive. We have to refer them and we'll say, go to some country there, go to that part of the world, go to that place, you'll find one pious man there, one Allah wala, one Buzruk there, go stay with him, perhaps you will see Islam being practiced there. Why is it that Islam has to be confined to some pious people in, you know, isolated pious people in some parts of the world, whereas it was supposed to be a living entity in the life of Muslims all over the world, in every nation, in every community, in every country? So Hazrat says that until this does not come into existence, and we do not take active steps towards increasing and improving our condition in our muamalat, our dealings, in our akhlaq, in our character and conduct, then we are not going to progress, and we are not going to reach that high stage of leadership that has been promised to this ummah. So this was some of the gists of some wonderful advices that were given. Alhamdulillah, there are a number of ulama in the gathering tonight. We hope, inshallah, this message will be taken and conveyed from different platforms to the ummah. This is the time for reformation, rectification of our mistakes, repentance, improving ourselves, introspection, soul searching. This is the stage that we are in. When we engage in these exercises, then inshallah ta'ala, the phases that will come will be better, and the days that will come will be glorious. But if we carry on in the same state of heedlessness, ghaflat, negligence, forgetfulness, and complete, you know, what we would say, that we are oblivious of all these mistakes and shortcomings, then where are we going to go? Are we going to progress, or are we going to retrogress even further from where we are? وَفَقَنَا اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ لِمَا تُحِبُّ وَتَرْضَاهُ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين يا أحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان الله وبحمده.